I wonder, do we really truly understand what it means to be holy? I know we're told that we aren't to say that we are holy, many times that we're not even supposed to say that we are saved. But somehow, if we believe and trust that we're going to have eternal life and be with our Lord Jesus Christ, in some way we must be know that we are going to be, at least going to be saved, if we are not saved right now. And so as I talk about being holy today, see things that, what I said, what it means to be holy, and how can we live a life of holiness for our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we can. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, believers are to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we've wondered at what holy really means. It means religious, pious, godly, devout, faithful, an object or place or day to be holy, until the meaning of devoted or dedicated to a particular purpose. We know that God dedicated Israel as his people, and they are holy by their relationship to a holy God. And the same that with us today, with that relationship to a holy God. Being set apart for the work of God, this is what is mostly said when we ask if we're about holiness or being holy. To do with the manifestations of the quality of holiness in personal conduct. So as we see these things, let's have a word of prayer as we start. Our gracious God, yes, as we look at trying to be holy, as you have told us to be holy, for thou art holy, and that thou art our people. So help us this day to understand the holiness that you want us to have, so that we know that one day soon we will have that holiness, that we will be holy, and that we will be able to sing, holy, 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 as the angels do, and that we will be with them. And so give us guidance and direction towards this, Father, so that we may truly live the life of Christ here upon this earth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, how many of us have holy hearts? Do you feel that you are holy? You're living a holy life? Or at times you do, at times you don't? Or never? You never feel that you're holy? But do you believe that you can live a holy life if you follow the dictates that are given to us in the Bible? Be ye holy, and are ye holy? We know that the book of Leviticus stresses holiness because God is holy. Leviticus also tells us about sacrifices, priests, foods that are clean, foods that are unclean. It also talks about dealing with leprosy and impurities that come from the body. Leviticus also talks about festival days, feast, articles of the tabernacle, and many more things. But we know that these things are merely shadows of a great reality. We may look at these sacrifices and priests in the ceremonial days, and they are. But the Apostle Paul tells us that they are just shadows. So if you would turn to Colossians 2, was our scripture meditation for today. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Paul is saying here that the things in the Leviticus law, like food and drink and feasts and festivals, are simply shadows that one might see upon the wall in a cave, which are being cast from the original form of Jesus Christ himself. We know that on the Christ type meant anti-type. in the death of the perfect offering of the Lamb of God. And we are to keep the cross before us at all times, to look and see that our Christ is not on the cross now, because the price has been paid once and for all, so that there's no more time for sacrifices. And in several places in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, we see similar language in Hebrews 8. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. 8, 4 and 5. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the examples and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So we see that there, to do that. In Hebrews 10:1. For law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. When you put these passages together, you begin to see that the book of Leviticus has an ultimate reality which is not contained in the book itself. The reality behind the book of Leviticus is Jesus Christ. And there are things in the Bible that are shadows of Christ. In our scripture reading for today, Leviticus 19:2 was that, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. We see that there are two points here. God is holy and we need to be holy. We know that God is holy. And this is inferred in other texts. In that, if you turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt. Back up there, 44, I mean. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify thyselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Here God is telling his people, Israel, to be holy. And it's the same for us today, to be people of, and members of God's church, to be holy today. In 2026, chapter 2026, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, am holy. Chapter 21, verse 8. Ye shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. And this is repeated throughout Scripture. And as we read the biblical story, we see that men and women alike affirmed that the Lord was holy. And we can affirm that today. Without looking these up, that we can see it from Job in 6:10, Joshua 24:19, Jeremiah 50:29, from Hannah, the mother of Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:2, the whole city of Bathsheba, 1 Samuel 6:20, from David, Psalms 22:3, to the psalmist Asaph, Psalm 78:41, to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 1:4. All made strong statements affirming the holiness of the God that we serve. We know that also his holiness is proclaimed in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, is what the angels, beings never cease to say. Isaiah 6:3 and Romans 4:8. Holy in the Hebrew text means to be separated or apart or sacred or consecrated. So we see that. Something that is set apart and dedicated for use with the service of the Lord is considered to be holy. So if we are in service to the God, we can be considered holy. And is that you and I? How much do we truly believe that we can be holy in today's society? Throughout the book of Leviticus, many things are described as being holy. The priests were a group of people that were set aside to serve the Lord in the temple. The garments of the priest were set apart for only the priest to wear. Certain places in the temple were designated as holy places. Leviticus 6:26 and 16:2. So we see that these things were made holy in that they were set apart for specific duties that the priest had to perform. And when the word holy is applied to God, the words get a whole new meaning. In the context, we aren't talking about things being set apart for the use in the service of God. We're talking about God himself, who is set apart from us. The character of God is so high above us and so far beyond us that we can't fully grasp it, as we can't really understand how to be holy. R.C. Sproul said, when the word holy is applied to God, it does not signify one single attribute of God. The word is used as a synonym for his deity. That is, the word holy calls attention to all that God is. And we know that to be sure as we read the Bible and read about our God, to see that our God is holy. God's holiness is his essence. God is entirely different than we are, especially in his purity that he has that we do not have. But one day we will have that purity. We will have immortal bodies that will not sin again. But when we see these encounters between man and God, we find that man on his face is bowing to God, entirely aware of his own sins. And we know that we are, or at least we should be, aware of our sins. And we can look and see the case of Isaiah the prophet, a righteous man, knowing that he was unfit. But we know that God put that burning coal upon his lips, and he was able to be the prophet that he was. We can look at a great illustration of this in Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, if you turn there, chapter 10 of Leviticus. Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put the fire therein, put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. He wasn't even to mourn the death of his sons. See that there? And they were his sons. And this is what it means to be, for God to be holy in Leviticus 19:2. Because he tells us that he is holy. We know that it means that he is so different that we must approach him in real holiness as he deserves it. So that we need to tremble before our God. Psalms 91, 99:1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He setteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. And then we are to exalt him as great and exalted in Zion, Psalm 99, verse 2. We need to worship at his footstool. It's at the feet of God that we belong, bowed prostrate before him, knowing our sinfulness and knowing his holiness. How many of us has laid prostrate before the Lord and gave prayer to him and talked to him? I don't know if I've ever done that, but maybe we ought to try that, to lay prostrate when we have prayer with our God. We know that these sons of Samuel learned this lesson the hard way. They died before the presence of the Lord because they weren't approaching him in all of his holiness that he deserved. So we know that we need to approach God in the holiness that he deserves. And how do we give strange fire before the Lord? We pray that we will learn from the example here with these two men. They had just been ordained as priest, and then they did this thing. You need to be holy, and I need to be holy. We learn in this book that nothing unclean can enter into the kingdom or into the presence of God. The first 10 chapters of this book gives highly detailed instructions regarding the sacrifices that they were offered up to the Lord. And if you would read them, you know, you would see that they were highly detailed in that. Sacrifices had to be done exactly as God commanded. The priest had to do just as the Lord had told him to do it. And we know that many times down through the centuries that they did not do the things that right. The reason for doing that was to obtain forgiveness. And get that forgiveness from the Lord because of the sins that had they committed. And only by obtaining this forgiveness were they acceptable before the Lord. And it's the same with us today. We have to obtain this forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the presence of God one day. We need to be cleansed from all impurities. We need to be forgiven for our sins. We need to be freed from all guilt. And as we come to God, we need to be clean in his sight. We know that when our sins are forgiven by God, our lives will change. We know that each one of us here has had changed lives once we have given our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. God transfers us to walk in a holy manner, and we pray that we do. God works in us to bring about a practical holiness that pleases him, and that we are to please our God. In Hebrews 12:14, we can look to there. Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. You need to be holy. I need to be holy. The writers of Hebrew says it clearly as we see that. And as I read in the New King James Version, it says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without no one will see the Lord. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor and revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. So we see that there. See these things. This verse clearly identifies behaviors that will disqualify any of us from the kingdom of God. If one should be a fornicator or an idolater or an adulterer, will not inherit the kingdom. We're not talking about earning anything. We aren't talking about meriting the kingdom. We're talking about sons and daughters submitting themselves to the will of their Father. We pray that we will do that. But we have good news that there are many who used to be like this and who have been transferred by the power of the gospel to inherit the kingdom. And I pray that each one of us will inherit the kingdom. And we can know this because of the very next verse that Paul writes in verse 11. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of your God. So we see that when we come to Christ, God will transform us and change us, each one of us. God's greatest wish for humanity is that the human attain to holiness and receive the blessing that it will bring. Holiness is God's goal for all mankind. He sets his holiness before us, and we are good to attain it. Holiness is attainable only through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16, Peter admonished us, as obedient children, do not let your characters be shaped any longer by the desires you cherished in your day of ignorance. The one who called you is holy. Like him, be holy in all of your behavior, because Scripture says, you shall be holy, and as I am holy. That's the NEV version. Ellen White defines holiness as righteousness is holiness, likeness to God, and God is love. It is conforming to the law of God, for all the commandments are righteous, and love is the fulfilling of the law. Righteousness and love in the sight and the love in the life of God. Thoughts for the Mount of Blessings, page 18. We know that the holiness that God can give us is one of the greatest gifts that we can receive. It is life. It is eternal life. And I said that we know that we need to know that we can be saved and have eternal life. We have that promise. We have that trust. We have that faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you holy? Be ye holy in the Lord. Yes, our Heavenly Father. Holy, 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 because thou art holy. You want us to be a holy people. You want to have us to be a priest of the Church of God, so that we may minister to the other worlds once we attain immortality, once when we will be with our Savior for eternity. Continue to be your representatives of a salvation that was given to a prodigal world. Oh, help us truly, Father, to walk that pathway that will bring us to that holiness, to that perfection you want in each one of your children. Oh, guide us as we leave this place today, and that we truly will use the knowledge this week that we have to help others to come to Christ. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.